The ministry of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. The Apostle John gave the name, which Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit, that is not used in any other book of the New Testament. It is the name Comforter. The importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit as Comforter can be realized from the words of Jesus in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is it expedient for you that I go away? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Apparently, Jesus thought it was more important for his disciples that the Holy Spirit be present with him than he in his bodily presence. But in addition, knowing the will of God, Jesus knew that he must take their place for sin in order to redeem them. The important expressions are used in John 14:16, which Jesus spoke of another comforter. The clue to another means the same kind, but different. It's not another kind of comforter, but another of the same kind as Jesus had been. Whatever Jesus was to that little band of disciples, the Holy Spirit would be to them. In fact, Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you," John 14:18. The word comfortless here literally means orphans. Jesus did not leave his disciples as orphans. He departed and sent the Holy Spirit, and the Comforter dwells in us. Christ dwells in our heart, and Jesus dwells the same way that the Comforter does. Being full of the Spirit means being full of Jesus. It's not to say that Jesus and the Spirit are the same, but Jesus was full of the Spirit. So is the Spirit in his presence full of Jesus? If the Spirit can dwell in the Son, then the Son in his glorified state can dwell in the Spirit. Jesus was in the Father, and the Father was in Jesus, so that those who saw the Son saw the Father. We are in Christ, and he is in us. Thus, we read, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Mark 16:19 and 20. The Lord was in heaven, but he was also on earth in the power of the Spirit, working his same signs and miracles. This is possible only because each member of the Trinity is omnipresent, and each is present in the others. Secondly, Jesus said of the Comforter that he may abide with you forever. The promised Comforter is given in the permanent sense. He abides with the believer forever. As long as there is a church, there will be a Comforter. It is through the Spirit that Jesus is to us the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. The word translated Comforter in Greek is parakletos. The modern understanding of the word Comforter is no longer adequate to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We think of the Comforter as one who consoles in time of sorrow. The Spirit not only consoles us in our sorrow, but rather gives strength and victory over our sorrows. It is true the disciples were sorrowful over the departure of their Lord, but the other paraclete was to remove that sorrow by taking the place of Jesus. Some translations take the word parakletos and put the word advocate. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate, paraclete, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous," 1 John 2, 1b. We understand that the advocate is one who represents another or pleads their cause. This is the real function of the indwelling Spirit in Romans 8:26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Closely akin to the meaning of advocate is helper. He helps our infirmities, Romans 8:26. Parakletos is the most literal definition, is one called to one side to help. He does for us what we ourselves cannot do. He does help us do whatever we attempt for God. God has chosen to work through human instruments, but only when such instruments are yielded to the Holy Spirit. Another word for parakletos means to beseech or to exhort. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The Spirit not only comforts, encourages, intercedes, and helps, He also entreats, exhorts, and beseeches. He's a persuader. Without the persuasion of the Holy Spirit, no preaching could succeed, nor could sound doctrine long endure uncorrupted. No consideration of the Spirit's office work would be complete that did not take into account His beseeching, convicting, and convincing operations. Let's look at some passages from the Gospel of John. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and you shall be, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 14, 16, and 18. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you, John 14:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me, John 15:26. And finally, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and will show it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine, and shall show it to you. John 16:7-15. The Holy Spirit is divided into four phases. These are, He is our teacher, our reminder, the revealer of Jesus, and the reprover of the world. He is our teacher, the Spirit of truth. He shall teach you all things. John 14:26. He guides into truth. He will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. Christ desires that we become full of the knowledge of divine truth relative to redemption and God's glory. And the Holy Spirit guides us into God's Word, revealing the hidden meanings, making its teachings clear, and causing even the most familiar passages to radiate with beauty and meaning. Because the Bible is a spiritual book, the reader needs someone to teach him and lead him into its truths. Acts 8:30-31, Luke 14:45, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Who better can guide than He who first inspired the writers? Now, the ignorance of the disciples before they received the infilling of the Spirit was obvious when they failed to comprehend what Jesus meant when He referred to the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew 16:6-11. They could not grasp the meaning of His parables, Mark 4:10. They failed to perceive what Jesus referred to when He spoke of the death of Lazarus as asleep, John 11:11-14. And they missed the truth concerning His resurrection, John 20:29. However, after the day of Pentecost, they were like different men, giving wonderful expositions of the Old Testament passages. Being perfectly familiar with their meaning, they fully understood the scripturalness of His resurrection now, Acts 2:25-31. Before Pentecost, they could not see that Jesus must suffer, but now they understood the Old Testament prophecies of His crucifixion, Acts 4:25-28. Many of the sermons that they preached were expositions of passages from the Old Testament scriptures, Acts 2, 16, 21, 3, 12 through 26, and 7, 2 through 53. Now, secondly, he acts as God's mouthpiece for revealing his words and desires. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. John 16, 12, 13. This probably refers in its largest application to the Holy Spirit inspiring chosen men to write the New Testament scriptures. This was no doubt accomplished through the ministry of the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He also speaks to individual Christian hearts, revealing God, what God would have each to do in his service of the Lord. The Spirit guided Philip to join the Ethiopian eunuch. He reveals things that are yet to come. He will show you things to come, John 16, 13. Blessings ahead in one's own spiritual life. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12 speaks of the things ahead for the child of God, which he has never imagined. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, 10. There are wonderful spiritual truths in relation to the Lord which have not been yet grasped. And Paul prays that these may be made known, Ephesians 1, 17 through 21. It also shows what lies ahead for the world and the church. Although no personal revelation is accepted, every teaching, every revelation by the Spirit must line up with the written word of God. The Holy Spirit does not give a revelation independent of the revealed word of God. It must not conflict whatever revelation the Spirit gives with the plain teachings of Christ. Hence, we are called to test those things, what is good, even prophecy. The Spirit also reveals what lies ahead for the believer. And he calls people for certain tasks and prepares the individual worker for unforeseen eventualities. Paul was strengthened for and prepared for coming conflicts. He is our reminder. He shall bring all things to remembrance, John 14, 26. He reminds us of the word of God, John 14, 26. He shall bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we must pay attention and to the Holy Spirit and listen to what he says and obey. Even during times of persecution, in which it is even more important that we remember the word of God and overcome through the word of God. John 15, 18. 18 through 20 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love his own. But because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Even in times of chastening and discipline of the Lord, when we do not believe that God loves us, nevertheless, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. Hebrews 12, 6. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of the special promises of God given in the past. It's, for example, Paul reminded him of the night in the castle in Jerusalem. The Lord stood behind him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you now bear witness also in Rome. Acts 23, 11. And in the great storm at sea, Acts 27, 24, and 25. So the Lord says that none would perish if they threw off all the goods off the ship, but that they would be shipwrecked. The Holy Spirit brings to memory thoughts and scriptures when one is preaching or dealing with a soul about its spiritual need. He is the revealer of Jesus. He shall testify of me, John 15, 26. He shall glorify me, John 16, 14. These were fulfilled by the early church, and when the Spirit moves powerfully, he always glorifies Jesus Christ. There is a threefold revelation of Christ. Christ is revealed to the believer by the Holy Spirit. John 16, 14 and 15 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take mine and shall show it to you. No one knows Jesus as this Holy Spirit, and he reveals Jesus to us. Secondly, Christ is revealed in the believer by the Holy Spirit. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Galatians 1:15-16, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Galatians 4:19. One of the great purposes of salvation is to restore man to the image of God which from which he fell through sin. Once a believer receives the Lord, the Holy Spirit will fashion him into Christ's image and implant his likeness in his heart. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23 is the character of Christ. And that it is found in the believer that he's growing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4:13. Christ is revealed through the believer by the Holy Spirit. He will not speak on his own initiative. He shall glorify me, John 16:13 and 14. The Holy Spirit never magnifies himself, nor yet the human vessel through which he operates. He came to magnify the person and the ministry of Jesus. He will not speak on his own initiative. So whenever the Holy Spirit is truly having his way, Jesus Christ is exalted. Note the heart of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. And Philip opened his mouth to the Ethiopian eunuch and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Acts 8:35. The Old Testament, God was magnified through the law and the prophets. In these days, Jesus is the manifestation of God to the world, and the Holy Spirit magnifies God through Jesus to reconcile mankind back to him. And finally, he is the reprover and convictor of the world of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. John 16:9-11. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit as Comforter, Paraclete.